Sunday morning reflections here in Downtown David with you through until 10 o'clock. 9181 5050 is the number. Text the word Downtown followed by a space and the message to 63103. Text costs 25p plus your normal network charge. This morning, Ryan Irvine catches up with Robin Scott, the Chief Executive of the Prison Fellowship, and finds out about the work the organisation does with prisoners and their families.
Robin, can you just tell us a little bit about the Prison Fellowship and what it does?
Prison Fellowship is a Christian ministry that works with prisoners, ex-prisoners and their families, and really our goal, I suppose, is to bring practical, emotional, spiritual help to men and women, young folk who find themselves in prison or impacted by crime. That means visiting in prison, sitting in cells, talking to the guys or the girls in the prison. It means going to visit homes, families of prisoners, and equally those who are released, maybe visiting them in their home or in a hostel.
How do you help those out of prison as well, like you said, the families?
For men and women in prison, the reality is that the best support they can have are those who are their families and their family circle. And often that's the piece that people in society tends to forget about. We hear in the media of those who have broken the law, we hear the sentence that is passed, but we don't then often think about the wider family circle. So for a man or woman goes to prison, there's a family out there. And we term it those who serve a silent sentence, because they serve a sentence not behind bars, but often in communities behind their front doors. So for us, that support that we bring is very much a practical support, an emotional support, a spiritual support. And practically that can mean something as simple as cooked meal. It can mean supporting a family going through the courts, so therefore it may be transport to a court or to prison to see a loved one. It could simply be just listening.
So we've said you're part of the Prison Fellowship, and we know it operates in over 126 countries. What is the main aim?
Prison Fellowship exists as a result of Chuck Colson's involvement in the Watergate affair. And simply he ended up going to prison. But before going to prison, he was introduced to a book by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity. And in that, he came to faith. He then subsequently was sentenced, served a period of time in prison. And while he was there, he realised that one of the things that was missing, certainly in the American system at that time, was a spiritual support or spiritual network. And so he, on release, sought permission to return to the prison. He had lost everything. He'd lost his profession as a politician. He'd lost his profession as a lawyer or an attorney in his case. And he wasn't sure what was going to happen. And so as a result of his time in jail, he said, I will go back and visit. And then he started to mobilise folk to go back into prison. And he mobilised Christians in the communities to go back to visit the prisons near where they lived. And so in a sense, his desire was to be Christ to those who are in prison, stating very clearly that we don't take Christ in, Christ's already there. And so for us, the overall goal is just to be there to spend time, to support, to encourage, and to remind folk that while they're in prison and they have broken the law and they rightly deserve to be punished for having broken the law, they also deserve the opportunity here that there's an alternative, that this is not the end of the road.
I'm sure working with prisoners and in prisons can be very challenging. If you get any negative comments, how do you deal with those from the prisoners?
We're very fortunate that folks see us as a support network for them. Most times we hear from the families it's positive. Very rarely do we have negative criticism coming from the guys and say, yeah, like anywhere, if you say no to somebody and they wanted you to say yes, that can bring a retort. But in the main, folks are appreciative. To be fair, I suppose the biggest majority of criticism that we will receive comes from outside of the prison. And that tends to be, why bother? Why waste your time? They don't deserve it. Prison's too good for them. And sadly, a lot of negative connotations coming from folk outside. And I suppose, like so many in our society, we are no different. We want mercy for ourselves and justice for everybody else. And so it's understandable, particularly if you have folk out there who are hurting or have been victims of crime. So therefore, naturally, they feel aggrieved that the perception is that these folk are getting something other than what people believe they should get, which is punishment. For me, and for Prison Fellowship, punishment is a removal of freedom. It's not then taking them out of prison and punishing them further. The punishment's already at the point of loss of freedom.
It seems there that you do get a lot of positive feedback, and it seems that you're doing a very good job in the prisons. Have you got any fond memories or nice stories of maybe prisoners coming to Christ through your work?
I think of one young man come to faith in a holding centre and then started his time in prison on remand, spent time there, eventually was sentenced, served a substantial length of a sentence, and all during that time he lived out his faith in a very practical way, in a way that people realised there was something different about him. It wasn't that he was smug or any of those things. He just simply got about his day's work or whatever he's required to do in a manner that was evident there was something different about him. On his release, he eventually came to work with us in Prison Fellowship. And for us, that was a huge encouragement. And then we had him going back into the prison to visit the guys inside. And you can imagine the guy going back into the prison, some of the emotional stuff he had to deal with, but also the opportunities he got to sit with guys and say, well, like, you know, I've sat where you've sat. I understand some of the stuff that you're going through. And he was able to get to a place where maybe somebody who hadn't been in prison would be able to go. When he eventually moved on from Prison Fellowship, he went into full-time theological training. He became a qualified minister, and today he's serving in two churches here in Northern Ireland, which is, to me, I suppose, the perfect example of having someone come through prison and come out the other end and realise that these guys can make a valuable contribution to society even though they've served time in jail.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion me as long as life endures. My chains are dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever.
I was going to ask about what projects and programs you run, but through your answer there, you've kind of mentioned one with a great example of the guy that came through Christ through being in prison and being able to go back into prison and give back to the prisoners. So that is obviously one way that you work. Is there any other ways that you help others, like you've said, families and ex-prisoners as well?
I suppose one of the projects that we're currently actively involved in is a program called Sycamore Tree. Sycamore Tree is very much about addressing the victims' issues and bringing these guys in prison, men or women, to realise that there are consequences to actions, and helping them to realise some of the emotional pain, some of the hardship that families have gone through and that individuals have gone through as a result of crime. Our programme is basically an accredited programme with Open College Network, 6-week programme where we bring these guys together, we take them through 6 2-hour lectures. And in the middle of that, we bring in someone who's been a victim of crime, not an actual victim of anyone in the room, but the individual comes in, shares their story of what it's like for them to be a victim, some of the hurt and the fears that they continue to carry often to this day. One lady shares how 30 years after a crime, she still opens her front door and steps back for fear someone will come out through the door, as she had experienced the day in which her house was burgled. Others speak very, very fluently and often very movingly. One lady tells of how she lost her 16-year-old son and just the pain and the loss, and then obviously goes on to say how she sought out the individuals who committed that crime and offered them her forgiveness. That's a very moving time, because all of a sudden the guys that are in prison start to realise, hold on a minute, prison in some way has protected me. One man put it like this, he said, the prison bars are there to keep us in. The reality is it keeps us from facing the people on the outside world. And so for them, they start to hear, sometimes for the first time, maybe others hear it and think, actually, I would love to do something about it. And the lovely end to that story is simply that some of those guys have asked to meet their actual victims. And I think of one individual who did meet his victim, and through a mediation situation, she was able to speak to him. He was able to apologise to her. And at the end of that session, she said to him as she left, I'd love to offer you a job, as a real act of taking this forward. And so for us, Sycamore Tree, restorative justice is the banner it comes under. But the reality is, it's about people sitting down and giving each other time to speak and to share what's on their heart. So the final session of Sycamore Tree is about them making an act of restitution. That can be reading a letter, could have written a poem, they could have painted a picture, or they've made or bought something to give to a victim. And so for them, it allows them to start the process of beginning to think about, what do I need to do in my own set of circumstances? And we have to be realistic enough to understand that not every person who's in prison can actually turn to their victim and say, I'm sorry, because sadly, for some, their victim's not here. And so that makes it even more difficult. And so often we look at ways in which we could support them out, even into the family setting. So restorative justice, I believe, is biblical justice. And it also allows these folk to move on from where they are. I also believe strongly that it allows victims to move forward. Because as we understand, and people will understand, the criminal justice system often deals with the crime. And often the victim is sidelined and very little mention made of them, and so they feel very often they haven't been involved and they haven't had a voice. And I believe in some way this gives the victim a voice. We've been very privileged because the prison service has allowed us to deliver this course, and we've been very encouraged because those who have taken the course have successfully achieved, most of them at level 2 Open College Network qualifications.
You clearly do feel like you are making a big difference to not only prisoners' lives, but also, like you said, the victims and those prisoners' families. Do you feel like you're making a difference?
Prison fellowship makes a difference on so many levels. It's very difficult to count success in a situation where you're working with people. What is success? Something as simple as seeing a man alive or a woman alive 24 hours down the line after having come through a difficult situation, or maybe they received bad news in prison, a loved one has passed away, or a crisis in their family home. One man tells of how he woke at 12 o'clock at night in the prison thinking, this is it, I can't keep going. And he reminded himself that he had a visit from a prison fellowship staff member the next morning, and that kept him going through the night. It could be a mother, as we had, celebrating her son's achievement of getting a grade A in his art GCSE. The bottom line is, if we see a man or woman come to faith, that is very much a success story in my head and in our thinking. But the reality is that it is a journey. And while a man or woman may come to faith today, there is a journey ahead. And often that's not an easy journey. People supported me as a young Christian, and I believe I have an obligation and indeed a responsibility to support others.
For anybody listening this morning that feels inspired by what you've said, how could they get involved in a practical sense, maybe through volunteering themselves or through a monetary sense?
My advice to you simply is to contact us. We have an email address, which is info@pfni.org, or you can call us in Belfast at 02890 243691. If you want to speak to someone, give us a ring and we'll happily call out and see you. Or indeed, if you want to get more involved, talk to us. As well as that, prayer is very much the underlying foundation of what we do. And at the moment, there's about 10 prayer groups across Northern Ireland. You can maybe find one in your local area. Again, contact us and we'd be happy to give you further information.
We're turning Black Friday red, green and gold at Homebase this weekend. From Friday until Monday, we've got lots of deals, like 25% off all Christmas trees and stands, Christmas lights and decorations. Get ready for Christmas with our Black Friday event at Homebase. Make your house your home.
The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2 is the worldwide number one movie. Critics are calling it the defining blockbuster for a generation. 5 stars.
The game is coming to its end.
It's epic. Katniss! Genuinely powerful.
This is our last chance.
Don't miss the end. The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2. In cinemas now. Rated 12A.
You know what? I only popped in for a newspaper, but I ended up with oak-cured, truly irresistible bacon and succulent British sausages. And I heard that Barry, the store manager, he's going to be an elf in this year's panto. I can't wait to see him in tights.
Discover more at your local Co-op this Christmas. Little, often, Co-op. Participating.